Is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. From ESPN West Palm, we have Brian Rowitz. And check him out, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, lots of things to get into this week as we get closer to Money in the Bank. Have qualifying matches for that. The Owen Hart is already kicked off over in AEW, building towards Money in the Bank premium live event, building towards Forbidden Door pay-per-view. But where we begin is maybe looking back a little bit at Clash at the Castle, where a couple of guys we thought were going to win did not. Chad Gable and Drew McIntyre come up empty in their quest for WWE gold. Where we begin, the question, who deserves a title run more? Is it Chad Gable or is it Drew McIntyre?
I've always thought, Gabe and Brian, it was Drew McIntyre. Of course, this feud that he's in with CM Punk does not require a championship. I just think that being in Scotland, it would have been cool for him to have his moment. Because we've gone through this a couple times now where they go overseas and Drew doesn't get his comeuppance. He doesn't get his just desserts. And I thought that he would get the opportunity to be champion, and that's not the case. So here's what I will tell you. It should be Drew McIntyre, and this whole thing with McIntyre and Punk, it better pay off. For Drew to be screwed and not get the championship multiple times, this better not be a one-off where, oh, CM Punk's shoulders hurt. Oh, the legs hurt. I can't continue this feud. That would be bad for all the fans. So, since Drew McIntyre is not in the title picture anymore, Chad Gable...
But he's not in the company anymore.
Right, yes.
Since Drew McIntyre is not in the title picture anymore, because I'm a wrestling fan and know better, I'm just going to lean Chad Gable at this point in time.
Well, so...
Okay, but Chad might be dead.
Yes, that is fair.
At least I can confirm that Drew McIntyre is breathing. Gable could be dead. He didn't look so hot backstage after the Wyatt Six attacked him.
The sad thing about that is we didn't see Bruce Pritchard or Triple H laid out.
No.
How come they didn't get any shrapnel?
They got the hell out of town. I mean, but on that, like, how much better would this past week have been if we didn't know those two were re-signed?
Yeah.
Like, that's great storytelling when you assume they're free agents and you don't know which way they're going. But you've already told us, essentially, that both of them are staying with the company.
Well, I guess they didn't. I mean, The Rock and yeah, Drew Dwayne on social did. Media.
You gave him a sword.
Yeah, The Rock and Drew on social media, you know, kind of blew it, you know, in terms of wrestling fans being online and seeing it. I believe Gable may have mentioned something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's – but, I mean, I don't know how you keep something like that secret, right? Like, after you sign the contract, like, it gets out, people figure it out. I'm not sure how to keep that quiet.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, so when it comes to the question, looking at stuff – by the way, it's insane that Drew hasn't had, like, a full world title run since November of 2020. That went into then February 21. So, like, he had the 5 minutes at Mania. That was it. Gable's never been a singles champion, even going back to NXT. He's all been tag stuff. And that's why I sort of lean Gable right now, because of the other stuff he's doing. He has made Otis into a star. Those reactions every time Otis is about to turn, like, those are legit reactions. I don't know if it's a long-term thing for Otis, but Gable deserves credit for that, I think. And just let him get a run. Let's see what he can do with the title.
Well, I'm assuming that Gable is going to have something to do, whether it's being one of the first people to take on. He's now entwined with the Wyatt Six, because he was the only wrestler that we could clearly see. I know some have hypothesized that maybe we saw Braun Strowman's body kind of laying in the wreckage amongst the Wyatt Six. But in terms of more deserving of a title run, Drew's been, I mean, Gable's been great, but Drew's, to me, has still been doing more of the heavy lifting. But I'm with Jay Hood. Like, this Punk feud does not need a championship run. Right. If I'm fantasy booking out in my head, Drew makes a return at Money in the Bank, costs CM Punk at Money in the Bank. Therefore, you know, Punk gets into the ladder match. But that just makes me nervous, because Punk in a ladder match trying to get to SummerSlam just is makes me a little uneasy, given some of the injury history that CM Punk has. And I would prefer to keep him in some sort of bubble wrap until he's available for a match against Drew McIntyre. But I think that's what it seems like they're building towards Drew making some sort of surprise return to screw CM Punk the way that Punk has screwed him to really kick off this feud. Because I'm assuming Punk tomorrow night, as he hinted, is going to be announcing that he is fully recovered and healed at SmackDown in Chicago.
But that's a good point. Like, if Punk's not available in August because he wrestles a match between now and then you wasted Scotland now 2 years in a row. You did not give Drew the opportunity to win the title there. All for what?
Did they kill Scotland, by the way? I mean, we talk about killing the town. They may have killed the country.
Listen, there was no American Pie sung afterwards.
No.
I'm a little concerned about that. So, no, I mean,
they booed Samantha Irvin. Like, the fan, did you see the fan videos? Man, they were pissed off.
Yes.
Well, first of all, well, it's deserved. She deserved to be booed. There is no good night, drive safely.
Not her fault. Yeah.
Well, she's just doing her job.
There was no Triple H to boo at that point. She was the only official on the mic. Boo her. Absolutely. That's why she didn't come to work Monday. So here's the thing about that. So, listen, I know there's some people that probably lost some money because you can bet on wrestling. No one had the women's tag team championships changing hands. Somebody from Scotland had to win a championship. I didn't know it was going to be those two. Isla Dawn? Like, nobody had that happening.
You had three Scottish, four with the tag team, but yeah, Scottish heritage wrestlers in matches. And yes, they could not go 0-3.
Yes. Well, somebody had to win out of Scotland. I just didn't know it was going to be them.
Right.
You know, but Piper Niven was going to have a good showing. We knew that. We knew she would lose. Great promo. Really good match against Bayley, but then Drew McIntyre doesn't come out with the championship. I can understand why people would say, when you come back, I may not invest. Right. Seriously, because it's not that the town's killed. It's just that you won't believe in your countrymen to win a big championship there anymore. You feel used, by the way. You haven't been there in years, and you finally get a PLE, and you can't see your hero win the championship, who's been all over the whole country representing, and he doesn't win. You don't want to leave the crowd, you know, sad going home. You like for them to be happy, but not the case.
Nope. And that's it. It was well done. Like, I love the camera work of the Punk slide in and then seeing the two. Like, it was well done in that regard. But yes, like, this was Drew's opportunity. And if not now, when? Like, we assume we pencil in it's him and Punk at SummerSlam. When does Drew hold the world title?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But honestly, like, from a pure storytelling perspective, we talked about this last week of, so Damian Priest is going to be a transitional champion. How are they going to do this? Well, they went the route, I think, creatively that made the most sense. Like, if you just remove the fact that this premium live event was in Scotland, like, from a creative standpoint, this makes the most sense. And to your point, it was beautifully done. Yes. Like, the way that Punk came sliding in, they had a short come out later where Punk is watching. He borrows a referee jersey from Jessica, the referee, runs out there and does it. Like, again, the storytelling is there. And then for Drew to not even cut a promo and just say, screw it, I quit. And you can see him in the background going face to face with Triple H. Like, that's great. I'm locked in, man. Like, I think this furthers and even escalates more Punk versus Drew McIntyre whenever we get it. And like you said, Jay Hood, I'm hoping it's a big epic series of matches. And Punk in the press conference just kind of laughed at somebody who suggested they just jump right into Hell in a Cell. But I think from a storytelling perspective, this makes the most sense.
Yeah.
That Hell in the Cell question, clearly not one of WWE's planted reporters. that dumbass question that was posed. But however, we did get CM Punk once again eating pastries.
Yes.
Wasn't lost on me.
There's a reason why he did that. So I just find it fascinating that we went from Drew McIntyre, should be in the world title picture, should win the championship, to, you know, in a feud that, again, I hope that delivers. I really do. And by the way, just as an aside about the Wyatt Six or the Wyatt Sickos, whatever we're calling them, right? We do recall, even though all of us as wrestling fans feel bad about Bray Wyatt's passing and his family and all that, we do remember that the creative was the shits, right? We do recall that. Like, the creative around what he was doing was terrible. It's not Bray's fault. It's just that the creative was bad. My hope is that they've got a long-term story for this Wyndham Six thing, this whole Wyatt Six thing, because if not, that's a problem. Because as we saw before, the concept was great, but it didn't lead to anywhere. So great start, awesome ending to Raw, but what happens afterwards?
Yeah, well, and go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and that's the issue in terms of this question with Gable. Like, at least with Drew, he is still going to be getting a spot that is clearly highlighted. I mean, for the rest of the year. I mean, they could find a way to have this thing drag out to Royal Rumble. I don't know. They could figure out a way to have Punk and Drew McIntyre get dragged out for a much longer time. Gable, it's unclear. Like, he doesn't, right. You know, presumably doesn't have the Alpha Academy anymore. We thought that, okay, maybe that means he ends up with the Creed brothers. But now, who knows what happened? Like, this is a big leap of faith. And I guess when it comes to the Wyatt Six, it's... Vince was mostly in charge during all the creative for Wyatt. And it seems like, at least as wrestling fans, whether it's right or wrong, we kind of, well, Bray had a different vision, was probably overruled by Vince. And now that Triple H is in charge, I guess I have more hope that something can come up. But, and it's sad that Bray's gone, but also this was like his vision. So to be able to carry it out and do it well. Like, again, this is a huge leap to try to continue something that was clearly in the mind of one individual who had the vision for it originally, and now he's no longer here to help execute.
Well, the thing I'm curious about, like the Firefly Funhouse, when it was a thing, that legit was the only thing I would watch on Mondays. Like with the Vince booking, like I would watch Bray, I would watch those segments, and I'd fast forward to the rest. Like it was unwatchable at that point. I'm curious if a character like the Wyatt Six and a storyline like that, that is Undertaker-esque, does that work in 2024?
I think it does, because it's kind of like a thing over to its side. If it takes over the show, that's a bigger problem.
Sure.
But here's the thing. I don't know if it's Undertaker-esque. I don't know if they're going to be spooky. I mean, they'll be scary, certainly, because they're intimidating. But I don't know if there's going to be any sort of mystical, magical thing other than these are five violent individuals who will just wreak havoc on Monday Night Raw. Like, I don't know if we're going to get some of the mystic stuff, like, you know, superimposed bugs on the mat at WrestleMania when Bray Wyatt was wrestling, Randy Orton. I don't think we're getting that. I think that Triple H kind of knows that, and I think that they're not really going to be a ton of supernatural that goes along.
Sure, but
it.
They had all this smoke and stuff backstage and the mask and stuff, and like the people in the group, we know they can be good. I just wonder the long term, and like, are they chasing titles? Are there stories? And obviously, like even the QR stuff where, you know, I'm not scanning these QR codes. Like I'll wait for summaries and things like that. Where remember the first time with Bray, it took so long to get him back, and every week was something. It's like, all right, I think we've sort of reached a point now that I just feel like there's a reason we don't see a lot of this elsewhere in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I need to know. I mean, we got a great ending to Raw. I just need to know who's the spokesperson for this group. Is it the high-pitched Bo Dallas that's going to be there?
Right. It's Uncle Howdy.
I mean, I don't know what we're getting, though. And so, like I said, it's an attraction to itself. If it's one of those things that takes over 3 hours of Raw and they're in every segment, it's like, man, that's not what Triple H's vision, I don't think, is. I think it's good for them to be part of it, but not the entire show. Like, nothing right now than the Bloodline and Judgment Day and that whole thing. That's a nice little attraction over here, not in the centerpiece of the show.
I would have preferred if Bo Dallas would have gone, like, Batman voice when he said, we're here. Because the we're here, like I was expecting like a more intimidating, and instead it was, almost, it was getting close to Bo Leave and we're here. Like, not as intimidating as I think you wanted that to come off.
Neil on YouTube said that was one of the coolest 10-minute spots at the end of the Raw, but obviously they have big plans. I mean, today they did something with McAfee's show. Like, that's how the show ended, was them shutting off the lights and, you know, leading to speculation on social media about what that was. So there's going to be a lot behind these six right now.
So, I mean, are they attacking just the heels? That's a babyface group.
So that's the question. But again, they've only attacked one wrestler. But if one of the bodies back there happened to be Braun Strowman, then they're neither heel nor babyface.
Right.
They're just attacking anybody and anybody.
Just one more question on Chad Gable, because there's so many layers and it's interesting. Yeah. I find all this fascinating. Just one more question about Chad Gable. So, was that the breakup of the Alpha Academy, where just Otis just packs his bag and goes, "Yeah, we're done"? Is that it? There has to be more. It's got to be more closure than that, guys. It can't
agree.
Be. I'm frustrated. We're out of here. That's the end, that's the shits. That's not good.
One push and hey, I quit.
Yeah, nope. No, we need Otis versus Gable. We need, you know, a Maxine low blow. We need Tozawa to do something. Like, but I don't see where that
fits. While Tozawa's doing his dance in the corner.
Of course, yeah. But, like, where does that fit now with the Wyatt side?
But that's the intrigue. That's the that all adds to the intrigue, I think, leading into Monday Night Raw.
It looked like a gunshot wound.
I know.
Oh, it was serious, man. Like, you've got, I don't care what you got hit, that part of the head, I mean, if he got the Eric Rowan hammer to the side of the head and that's what carried that, like, I don't know why we're talking about Chad Gable, because that man's dead.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's get the 10 bell salute and move on.
That would be wild. They fake Gable's death with the 10 bell salute.
I want all the wrestlers. All the wrestlers on the ramp, a 10 bell salute. Move on with the show. Let's start the open.
Oh, man. We got a lot of other things we want to get to this week here on GKW. We call it the three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what do we have at number one this week?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson talking to ESPN about WrestleMania 41 in Vegas said, quote, "We're on the one-yard line to creating the biggest WrestleMania of all time and the biggest match of all time at WrestleMania 41 in Vegas." So, two-part question. One, what is that match? Two, what is the biggest match possible that WWE can have main event Mania?
Well, I mean, if The Rock is saying, so clearly The Rock's involved. If The Rock is talking about it.
I do think he's a fan of himself, so that lines up.
I mean, it's got to be Rock and Roman, right? Because that was supposedly the biggest match that, you know, of all time. You know, it was going to be the biggest match of all time, and then Cody ruined it. So my guess is they're going to try to figure out a way to do Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania 41, whether that's Roman coming back and aligning with maybe the Usos and The Rock aligns with whatever this new vision of the bloodline is. I don't know, to get them on opposite sides, but Rock versus Roman is the main event that he's talking about.
Can I just tell you, I think that's exactly what it is, because before Cody Rhodes was put into the title picture, that was supposed to be the biggest. That's what he's talking about. He's only regurgotating what he said before
yeah.
himself into the mix. So
that or Triple H inserted Cody into the mix. I still don't know how they got to. I mean, it ended up being great. What ended up being, you know, they turn chicken salad out of chicken, you know what? But like, how they knew Rock was going to be at Mania before Cody won the Royal Rumble.
Well, like, that's how they still had Cody on it. We're just still waiting on it.
How they still had
the Wednesday after Mania.
How they had Cody win the Royal Rumble after they still knew The Rock was going to be there is wild to me. But I digress. I'm sorry.
But well, some people swear that, like, that was fine. It was the fact that he pointed at Roman. Like, that's what screwed things up.
Well, no, because if not, it wouldn't have made sense. Like, if you, once the second that Cody Rhodes, who's trying to finish the story, wins the Rumble, guess where he's going after? It wasn't Seth freaking Rollins.
Right.
No, I mean, no, they caved because we were loud as fans. That's all that happened. It's just something it's something McMahon wouldn't have done. But under Triple H, the fans are so loud for Cody, they switched. They pivoted.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't think we're ever that loud as fans if Cody doesn't win the Rumble.
Right.
If Cody doesn't win the Rumble, like if Punk ends up winning the Rumble, they were like, oh, okay. Like, and it's, but because Cody won and every fan in there, casual, diehard, the ones that even just float in for WrestleMania alone, everyone knew that Cody was going to challenge Roman and you couldn't make anything else make sense.
Yeah.
So
that's why we got loudest fans.
When he says the 1 yard line, I think The Rock is talking about his health and his time because he's already injured from whatever he's doing. Is it the elbow? There's something going on.
Yeah. For yeah, that, so, what is that MMA movie he's doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Black Magic. I don't know. Or I don't know.
No, that's Daddy Magic, who's a friend of the show.
That's right.
I don't know.
It is a UFC related movie. He's playing a UFC fighter, and yes, apparently he hurt his elbow while filming.
I think that's the 1 yard line. That's what it is. He's just got to get healthy, and they're going to tell this story, and it's going to culminate all the way up to WrestleMania, and that's the big match. And by the way, that will not be a match for the heavyweight championship. It will just be a battle.
So, one, what do you do with Cody in that spot? Two, can you confidently say no title? Like, could you put it on Dwayne at some point?
No. I mean, someone's got to do night one, pal.
That's okay. What Cody's doing.
Seriously, somebody's got to be Jannetty. So it's Cody against whomever, and then night two is Rock Roman. Good night.
Okay.
But do we ever get Rock Cody? Because Rock Cody is kind of where this thing left off on Monday Night Raw when Rock gave him something, presumably a watch that Cody gifted everybody. But that where it all left off. Rock versus Cody was the match that everybody wanted to see. Like it was Rock versus Cody by the time they were done telling the story was somehow bigger than Cody versus Roman because The Rock was more present and The Rock was the one who gave him the beatdown out back.
Well, tell people, Gabe, your idea. Tell them. Tell them about your idea for Netflix. You're the only one who's had it.
Oh, having The Rock on the first Netflix. Yeah, The Rock can. Yeah, you can do Rock Cody versus right away kick off Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
you're the only one that said that. So you're the.
I mean, it makes just too much sense, right? Like you're trying to draw people to this prescription service for your flagship show. You have that's the biggest match that you can do on Netflix is Rock versus Cody for the championship. Much like again, and it's not a brand new idea. The first thing they did on SmackDown on Fox was Kofi versus Brock Lesnar. Now, I hope it ends up being a better match than Kofi versus Brock Lesnar. But
please, we just got through Juneteenth.
That's okay. I apologize.
Please don't upset Black Wrestling Twitter. Please, let's not. Please, it's not good. There's still a bitterness in the community.
As there should be.
As there should be, by the way. Like, I don't think it's unfounded, I think it is very justified.
I mean, just let's not do that. That's picking the old wounds. Please, let's not do that. Please. But it's what you said. Even if there's no title on the line, you said that's the best way to kick off Netflix. But again, fingers crossed that Rock can survive and be healthy.
Right.
For the first day, for Netflix.
I mean, even along those lines, are you confident The Rock can give you 20 minutes of singles action?
But I don't think he has to. I think if you do a solid 10-minute match, I think you can do 10 minutes main event that first one.
That's it?
A lot of interference, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean.
There's a lot of bloodline now.
Yeah, bloodline rules. You got a lot of guys who got to get their stuff in.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is a Jeff Jarrett match.
Okay, good.
Jeff Jarrett might run into. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
A lot of just circling the ring and I need her guitar spot. Here we go. I need the guy with the pencil behind his ear. I need this. It's got to be that for The Rock to survive a singles match.
Is there any scenario where it's someone else versus The Rock? Because I do think Rock being in it is sort of it. But do we do Rock Punk again?
No.
Who gets injured first?
In a who gets injured first match? The first ever who gets injured first?
The match keeps going until someone gets hurt, so it'll be about 3.5 minutes.
I hope Vince Russo isn't listening to this podcast. Bro.
Got an idea.
Bro. It's oh, man.
I mean, other guys that bust their ass at Gunther, Jey Uso. Is there a spot for Logan Paul?
Logan Paul Rock? Oh, my God.
Talk about mainstream attraction.
No, I mean, and the biggest match that he, again, the match he's talking about is the biggest match that WWE can do, and that's Roman versus Rock. I understand it's hard. We haven't seen Roman in WWE now in like 3 months, but he is still the biggest star in WWE. Rock is still one of the biggest movie stars out there. Rock versus Roman is the biggest match that they can do at WrestleMania.
Night two.
Mm-hmm. I just worry that The Rock's like time commitment. Like now that he's back in Hollywood making movies, like I don't know. I just worry whether how much time he's gonna put into this.
He's on the board, baby. He's on the board. He's putting a ton of time. He wants this thing to succeed. He wants this thing to purr. I have no doubts about the time commitment.
It's one of his last matches he'll have, and one of his biggest paydays also, as far as an in-ring performer. So here's the one thing about The Rock. The Rock understands the business. This is not like Hogan in WCW. This is not like, hey, brother, that doesn't work for me, brother. I'm going to have to be on top, brother. It's not that. He will lay down for whomever, whatever's best for the business, because he is that good of a wrestling person that understands, hey, man, if I got to lose to Cody, I'll lose to Cody. If it's Roman, he'll do it just for the betterment of the business.
See, I agree with that, but then in that scenario, like, Cody's the one that makes sense. Like, Roman beating Rock does nothing for Roman.
I mean, but it's still part of the Bloodline story. You're going to get that match no matter what. It's part of the Bloodline storyline.
All right?
It is.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's the thing, like, you'll get all that, you'll get all the antics, and you'll get everyone else, but, like, Cody beating Rock, like, just adds to the Cody legacy and continuing to tell his story, I feel like.
Cody can beat Rock because of Roman interference on the first episode of Netflix Raw, and then you build to Mania from there.
And by the way, I'm sure you'll get that. I want you to think about all the veterans, the part-timers that Cody could beat. I think that he has to beat Cena. That'll be all for Cena. Nothing wrong with that. Stone Cold's not going to wrestle again. Right. They tried this past WrestleMania, and they couldn't find him or whatever.
He wouldn't even do a run-in.
He disappeared. He just didn't want to be part of it. There was no match for him that he wanted. So, you know, Undertaker's done. So it's got to be The Rock. Who else is left? Batista's not coming back.
Nope.
So.
Yeah, there's not much else out there.
Water.
Flair will take a paycheck.
Flair. Flair.
He won't say no.
I will.
Flair on the marquee again.
Oh, God.
In Greensboro.
Yes.
Flair versus Rhodes. People love that match.
Right.
So that's why you're going to get your match. You'll get your match. You will get your Rhodes versus Rock. Because I think that that's only right for Cody.
Good.
Yeah, because you have to. There is still a finished. Speaking of finishing stories, that is still a story that needs to be finished. You have to put a bow on Cody versus Rock because, again, he was the one that was the Rock was the one driving it from the Bloodline standpoint last time we saw Bloodline versus Cody. Although the Bloodline seems to be back in Cody's life pretty quickly because, well, there's just not a lot of challengers over on SmackDown for Cody to have to deal with.
I wish Shawn Michaels was just 10 years younger. Just turn it back a little bit. Just to get the finale, just a big match, because Shawn was always good in these big matches, like it's The Undertaker and Triple H. If he could just turn it back 10 years, a little bit more hair, and just, you know, still can move around, that'd be great. A great way for Shawn in his career, but he's not coming back either. So you have very few opportunities now for Cody to take on a legend and raise Cody's level.
Yep.
We were really excited because earlier this week, we had an opportunity to talk with a two-time WWE Women's Tag Team Champion as Chelsea Green joined us to talk a little bit about her career and SmackDown coming up tomorrow night in Chicago. Excited to talk to our next guest here on GKW as she is a two-time WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. Welcome to the show, Chelsea Green. Chelsea, what's going on?
two-time baby. That's right.
Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about your current tag team partner, because on paper, it doesn't make sense. You and Piper Niven do not make sense on paper. However, in actuality, in practice, it is fantastic. Why are you two such a good pair together?
Because we're professionals. Hello. I am getting paid to be here and be with Little Miss P and win titles and entertain all the commoners. And that is what we do. I mean, also, we do kind of have a history together. We did live in Japan. We do have a friendship. So that also plays a part.
How proud were you of how she was received, you know, in Scotland and the match that she had at Clash of the Castle?
I mean, just, I watched it as a fan. I thought it was a banger of a match, and I was so proud of her. You know, as females, you don't get to see us wrestle all that long, and for her to get like a 20-minute match in front of you guys and just show out and show the world what she could do and have her parents in the front row and her, you know, oh, it was just, it was a moment that I think is going to seriously live with her forever. And I felt that as her tag partner, like I felt like it was me in the ring. It was amazing.
How fun has this run been for you? We'll call it WWE 2.0. You go out in the indies, you pull up, we'll call it a Cardona for you to come back and be on this run. How fun has that been for you?
It was, I mean, it's just, it's been so fun because I don't care anymore. And I think you guys can see that. When I get in the ring, I don't care what I say. I don't care what I do. I don't care what my facial expressions are. I just do what comes naturally and what I feel in that moment. And it takes a lot for a performer to get to that stage in their life. And I think being released and going out on the indies and building all these new characters in the past 10 years, it's all led to this moment of just being truly myself.
So you mentioned, obviously, your time wrestling internationally in Japan. What are your thoughts on WWE trying to become more international? Just getting back from Scotland, having Clash of the Castle the second year, backlashes in France. Before that, before WrestleMania, you guys were in Australia. What are your thoughts on WWE trying to expand to become more international and having these PLEs in a lot of different countries?
I mean, why not? Americans, actually North America in general, has been so spoiled with wrestling. And I really think that we need to share the wealth. And, you know, we have so much coming up. Obviously, we have Money in the Bank coming up. We've got the Bash of Berlin, like so many things. There's so many opportunities for other fans to see us live. And I think that we this year have really proven that us going to places like France, like Saudi Arabia, like Scotland, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. Even just watching it, all these chants that these European fans are coming up with, the energy, it's electric. And I feel like this is the next era of WWE. It's traveling internationally.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, they're so organized over there, Chelsea. It makes me feel bad as an American fan. Like, they've got all these chants. I feel, like, so disorganized compared to all these other places are going to Puerto Rico like you guys did last year. It just, you know, it makes me feel like as an American fan, we almost have to step our game up.
And they're so much more in tune than us Americans.
And you do. Look, you do. You got to step it up. The chants are unbelievable. France really crushed it with the chants, and then Scotland came in hot, too. I mean, and it's so fun as performers to be out there and listen and try to figure out what they're saying, too. It's so good.
You know, going back to that Piper Niven match, I really enjoyed it. I just don't know who that person was with that luchador mask. It kind of ruined the flow of the match. Could you kind of, can you put your finger on who was that to interrupt Piper Niven's match? I mean, the luchador mask, who was that? That's strange.
I don't know, but whoever it was obviously would do anything for Piper Niven. And I think you just have to give that man or woman credit. I mean, they were trying their damnedest to make sure that Little Miss P came out on top in front of her friends and family. And I don't know that we'll ever figure out who that was, but whoever it was should really get a Medal of Honor, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's impressive. You know, a big part of this new Chelsea has been Samantha Irvin and the entrance. How did that come to be and her introducing you the way she does?
I mean, that came to be because Queen Samantha said it and I loved it. And we both just were like, oh my gosh, do we have something really special here? Yes, we do. It's keep going with it. And now I have, it's become my personality. It's become a little part of me in my entrance. And you know, it's what people remember. And I love getting videos of kids, you know, doing it. And I have people screaming at me on the streets with that, like, Samantha Irvin cadence. I love it so much. So now I have included it in my entrance music.
It's fantastic. I think, yes, it is certainly a fan favorite. But you mentioned how you've reached this point as a performer where, you know, you're kind of going with the flow and you're at this point where you have this little bit of freedom. So what are the other goals you have in WWE? Or is this just kind of, you take every show by every show and you just kind of flow?
I'm definitely going with the flow. Like, no matter what happens, I'm not going to be upset when things don't go the way that I hoped. But of course, you know, as an athlete, we're always going to set goals. And it would be crazy if my next goal wasn't to win Money in the Bank in the motherland, right? I mean, my family is flying in. Nicholas the Perkless could not put me in a qualifying match. And then even if, God forbid, I didn't win my qualifying match, I will be in that match. I will figure out a way. I will, you know what? I will borrow that little luchadora mask from the hero, the unnamed hero, and I will be out there. I will be out there in Money in the Bank because that's what needs to be done.
Chelsea, let's talk about the state of the WWE right now. We know that you're having fun, but it just seems like the crew is having fun on Raw and SmackDown and NXT. Can you let us in behind the scenes on how everyone's feeling as far as the camaraderie in the WWE right now?
Well, look, I don't know what it was like. I mean, I don't even know what it was like 2 years ago. I don't know what it was like 10 years ago. But from what I know and what I experience, this is the two best locker rooms in the history. Talent level, athleticism, acting skills, camaraderie, friendships. We're having the best time. And I think that everyone has got to a point, and I don't know if this is in life or maybe just in our locker room, but we've all got to a point where we realize you do not need to step on people to get to the top. You just need to stay in your lane, do what you do best, and it all comes out in the wash. The cream will always rise to the top.
You know, we've talked to Matt Cardona on this show, so I think by proxy, you are a friend of the show also. What are the difficulties of being a part of a wrestling couple like you are?
Well, first of all, have you ever wrestled, traveled, lived with someone? Because it's not easy.
Okay.
Doing all that, it's not easy. But at the end of the day, I mean, I've been wrestling 10 years. He's been wrestling 20. We have our boundaries. When we come home, wrestling, turn it off. Turn wrestling off. I mean, you know, we'll try. So that's kind of our rule is
we try.
Yeah. My husband's a little crazy. He's a fanboy of wrestling, but I am pretty good at when I step through those doors and it is my day off, I turn wrestling off and I go into dog mom, cat mom mode, you know, and I do everything that normal people do because otherwise I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
I really
it's very
would.
Fair. So you mentioned the locker rooms for Raw and SmackDown, but you've also had the opportunity to kind of float as, you know, a WWE Women's Tag Team Champion down to NXT and float there as well. What do you think of the younger crop that we're starting to see more and more on Raw and SmackDown as well?
I mean, they're amazing. They're so talented. We've never seen skill like we have now. In 2024, this is the epitome of just unbelievably, exceptionally talented men and women. But with that being said, NXT is developmental. They all have a lot to learn before they come up and deal with the big dogs, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. But I am loving going down there and just getting fresh perspective from them and a fresh look at, you know, how they're learning wrestling and things like that. And then, you know, in turn, I hope I rub off a little on them as well and just show them that You know, it's not all about these hard-hitting moves. It's also about connecting with our audience and taking the time to have them invest in that match, whether it's 2 minutes or 22 minutes.
Yeah, Friday Night SmackDown at the Allstate Arena in Chicago. There's a few tickets still available for SmackDown, and of course, SmackDown every Friday, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Do you have any memories of being in Chicago, Chelsea?
Oh, my, so many. I mean, so many memories. There's some big shows I've done there, some unbelievable moments I've had, but I think the best moment is going to be this Friday when I qualify for Money in the Bank. Well, first I'm going to have to send a strongly worded email to Nicholas the Prickless, get a qualifying match, and then when I qualify for Money in the Bank at Allstate Arena.
And an investigation on who was in that match.
Yes.
I think that, get open yes. investigation. I mean, unless that's someone that you're going to bring into the fold, I think you need to find out who that was, that super fan.
Yeah, I'll do a little digging. I'll let you know if I find out.
Do you want to call your shot now once you have the briefcase, who you're cashing it in on?
I don't know that I want to cash it in like immediately. I think I'm going to like hold it as long as I can because I do need to get it bedazzled.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Yep.
That's very fair.
So, you know, we're not in a rush. We're not in a rush. We're just, we're easy breezy girls, you know?
Good to know.
Chelsea, we certainly appreciate the time. We certainly appreciate you jumping on. Best of luck in, you know, the email you have to send. Best of luck once you do get that qualifying match because, yes, in your home country, it would be a shame if you were not fighting for that Money in the Bank briefcase.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will be. Positive thoughts only, boys.
That's right.
We got you.
For Money in the Bank. We're on board.
Positive vibes. Positive vibes.
Thank you, guys.
Well... Well, we're now Team Chelsea Green here on GKW. We are hoping she gets that match tomorrow night. Of course, you can go. Very limited tickets available for SmackDown tomorrow night in Chicago. What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
All right. Last night on Dynamite, the brackets for the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament were unveiled. So let's fill in the blank. The Owen brackets are blank.
All right, quickly, just to get everybody on the same page. On the women's side, we have Willow Nightingale taking on Serena Deeb. The other match on that side of the bracket happened last night. Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose. Statlander advanced. Other side of the bracket, Deonna Purrazzo versus Hikaru Shida, and then Mariah May versus Saraya. And then on the men's side, Claudio versus Pac happened last night with Pac advancing. Danielson taking on Shingo Takagi, and Ray Phoenix gets Jay White, which should be a banger. Jeff Jarrett taking on a wild card. So those are the matches in the opening round for the Owen Hart tournaments.
The tournament is not big enough. As big as this roster is, you don't have much. You don't have any ROH flavor on here. You don't really have much. I mean, again, this scratches the surface of how much talent's in this company. So what we see on the men's and women's side, that's the next contenders for whatever major championship they have. I mean, seems kind of random to me.
Right. That's why, like, the way I feel it is, like, they're underwhelming. Because, like, when you look at it and say, like, oh, I'm excited if this person wins, there are very few. Like, on the men's side, Danielson, because remember, there's a title match at Wembley. So Danielson, Ospreay again, I'm in on that. Who else could be a legit winner on the men's side? I guess, you know, we'll wait and see on the wild card. So you have that. On the women's side, Willow winning would be cool. I feel like it's Mariah May, and we do Mariah and Tony at Wembley. So it almost seems a little predictable right now.
Yeah, that's on the women's side. It does kind of feel like, yes, Mariah May is going to advance there, which I don't know how I feel because I'd like to see Deonna Purrazzo get another opportunity. Sure. You know, I think there are on the women's side, there are more people I could get excited about getting that opportunity, whether it's Willow, whether it's Stat, as, you know, as she kind of continues this heel run that she's on. I mentioned Purrazzo. It seems like it's going to be Mariah May, which, again, I don't think she needed to. I guess storyline-wise, she probably has to win some sort of opportunity like this because, well, Toni Storm's not just going to go, oh, yeah, I'm going to grant you a title shot. Right. You know, that's just that's not what her character would do. On the men's side, yeah, it seems like this is just kind of forecasting Danielson. Although I'd get excited if Jay White got a nice little run here. Like, Phoenix versus White is going to be fantastic. Like, yes. That's a match I am just looking forward to. But to your point, Jay Hood, especially if we're just doing some of these matches, like the Danielson match is going to happen at Forbidden Door. So if we're going to be just dragging out the first round, I don't know why we couldn't expand this thing. Yeah, expand it to 16 wrestlers on each side and go from there. We still could have gotten some very high-quality matches without much storytelling because it's a bracket. You don't need to have the stories. They kind of write themselves.
Yeah, for a company that's light on story and you're about banger matches and you have plenty of platforms to do it, it's fine because these matches will be okay, but the thing I don't know, and I don't think any of us know, is exactly what the Owen is supposed to be for AEW.
Right.
I think they don't know.
Well, exactly. Well, maybe we should define it for them then. Because, like, King and Queen of the Ring is supposed to elevate what's next. Next person to get the title, next person in a big title match, that kind of thing. The Owen should be the same thing. So we had last year Willow and Ricky Starks. Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Willow has taken it to another step. Great promo, good promo that she had to promote her match on Friday. And then Ricky Starks, well, I mean, he was hot and then he was kind of disappeared. Right. So, I mean, it's say, for instance, it's for what's next. Well, if it's for what's next, Mariah May should be on the women's side and it should be like Rey Fénix or Pac or someone like that.
Brackets. Adding the Wembley caveat like is where it sort of like dampers it, because it's like they're not going to have Rey Fénix at Wembley versus Ospreay versus Swerve. But if you said, oh, it's just a future world title shot, then you believe maybe there's a Dynamite where it's Rey Fénix versus Ospreay for the title.
Well, you know, I think you just talked me into Rey Fénix versus Will Ospreay for the title at Wembley Stadium. I think you just talked me into it. I mean, we just saw it, but I could see it again. But no, I mean, so it's funny that you say you think that dampens it, because when I look at the three, this is the third year. So the first year you had Britt Baker and Adam Cole win it and be able to go out there and celebrate. And again, I don't know if they really knew what it was past the championship belts and raising awareness for the Owen Hart Foundation and getting Owen's wife out there and things of that nature. So they're trying to figure it out. Well, they figured something out. They added stakes to it. They made it actually mean something this year. But you think, Brian, that actually hurts it.
Yeah, because especially if it's not going to be eight top guys, like you look at it, like Danielson's really it, and then maybe the wild card, depending on who that is. Like, you can eliminate a lot of these guys in terms of going to Wembley to fight for the title. Shingo, Pac, Fénix, Jay White I can make a case for. Jarrett, like, it's nice they're putting him in it, but like you eliminate a lot of them in that situation.
Like, I don't think Danielson should be in the Owen.
Right, which I agree with also. But I mean, we're going to get great matches. Like, his Forbidden Door match will be good. We're going to get him versus Pac. Like, that will be amazing. And just a random semifinal match. But yeah, he doesn't need this tournament.
No, and again, it's not defined. And by the way, so I can remember, so when Dr. Britt Baker and Adam Cole won, were they both baby faces or were they both heels?
I feel one was a baby face, one was a heel, because it didn't make a ton of sense when they were celebrating together on the stage. I remember the thing not making sense. I mean, so in that case, it had to have been Cole was the baby face. I think Britt was a heel at that point.
That makes
sense. Okay. And then last year, we're talking Ricky Starks was a heel.
Yep.
Because I think he shit canned the title. He did something that was kind of weird.
He beat Punk in the end. I think we were talking earlier. I think this was before that MJF match.
He was disrespectful to it for whatever reason, or his promo is disrespectful. And then Willow, of course, babyface.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's the same formula coming up. I have no idea.
I guess, and the other is to speculate, like, who's the wild card? Because, like, I feel like that has to be a name, or you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Well, speaking of disappointment, you know who that's going to be. It's the Lord Entry.
No, that's what Jericho. No. Oh, God. No. Nobody wants.
Why would you say that?
Do you think I want it to happen?
How dare you put that out there?
How about the Redwood? The Redwood against Jeff Jarrett.
How about none of those guys?
The big guy.
Is Ricochet free yet? Can Jarrett roll with him?
That's the thing. It's Jeff Jarrett. It has to be someone that can slow it down for him. Like, all right, you know, my wife's going to come out. Then they're going to tear up the car shot. Then we're going to have the big guy come out, and then it's going to be over the top rope. And then we're going to do – I mean, it's got to be someone that can roll with Jeff.
Don't forget the strut also. You got to get a strut in there.
Strut, yeah, strut. And then we're going to get out of there. Then Jay Lethal's going to interfere. And we're going to – what? Who could be – and by the way, why is the wild card so important? It's got to be against Jeff Jarrett. Right.
Because you gotta let everybody know that the wild card's advancing,
right?
So whatever they do, whether it's a battle royal, whenever they announce it, it's gonna be an important announcement because you get a bye into the semifinals.
Boy, that smells like Rampage. It does. It just reeks Rampage, that match. Jeff Jarrett again.
Could it be post Forbidden Door Swerve without the title, and it's his way to get back?
No.
Okay. It kind of, by the way, kind of feels like Ospreay ain't winning the title at Forbidden Door.
I will say that's a hell of a promo last night. I'd say one of his best.
Oh, yeah. But it feels like the aftermath of that being the family, the Don Callis family and members of it not happy saying that he didn't need the Don Callis family feels like they are going to come out and cost him at Forbidden Door.
And if that happens, it's okay. It's on Long Island. They're not going to kill Long Island, New York, because MJF's still in the company.
Yep.
So it's not like one of these things like, oh my God, we got screwed. It won't be the McIntyre outrage. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he doesn't win the championship, it won't be like, well, I'm never coming back here again because Ospreay didn't win. It'll be fine. It just extends the story.
In that situation, Wembley is next after Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ospreay, MJF, Wembley with no title on the line, and then Swerve Bryan at Wembley?
Yeah, it'd be Swerve Bryan. Yeah, but Ospreay is not fighting for the AEW World Championship at Wembley.
So we're just not going to get Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson. Whoa. We're not getting it, huh? Okay.
Unless a Nigel magic trick cost Danielson in the tournament. Jay White and Swerve at Wembley?
All right, say less. I'm hooked. You got me. A Nigel McGuinness magic trick costing Bryan Danielson to set up a match. I'm in.
Also, big kudos to Nigel, not PG, but the comment about Bryan going vegan and Brie from Saturday, look it up. It was a... two thumbs up.
Nigel was on fire, and then when he was talking about the upcoming AEW Women's World Championship as well.
Well, so and now that you put it out that way, like Jay White at Wembley fighting for the title, like it's not something we saw even a week ago, but he's a UK guy.
He is, but they booked him to the point where you don't believe he'll ever win the championship. Because he came in hot as fire out of New Japan, right? But stuck in these trios, elevating, you know, Billy Gunn's kids, Juice Robinson. I mean, it's a fun faction now. It's a fun little niche faction. Some people are into it. Okay. But Jay White off that New Japan TV was like one of the top 10 wrestlers in the world. And now he's just kind of settled in. Now I can never believe that he could ever be the world heavyweight champion in this company.
But does that change if he beats Rey Fénix, if he beats a wild card, and then he beats Danielson?
He wins the Owen, okay? And okay?
Then him and Swerve? Like, I'm into that match.
Well, someone's got to open the card.
Yeah, because Ospreay's main eventing there.
I'm just telling you.
Ospreay's not main eventing. Ospreay wasn't the main event last year.
Yeah, but he didn't work there fully yet.
Yeah, Ospreay's not main eventing. Ospreay's not fighting for the championship. He is not main eventing. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you because I care about you, Bryan, and I just want you to be mentally prepared for this. I know you wanted Ospreay Swerve for the championship there. It's just, I don't think it's happening.
Looking through their roster, by the way, like there's no one wild card wise that would be like, exciting. Like I feel like it has to be someone outside.
That's Keith why it's
Lee,
Jericho.
Maybe Keith Lee. He still works there, right?
Yeah, he's there. He's still injured, I think. It's more exciting for me actually on the women's side than the men.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
This should be a wild card in the women. It should be Athena, but that's just me.
Yeah. Do they remember she still works there?
That's just amazing.
Maybe Tony doesn't pay for Honor Club either.
He's got to save money here and there until that new TV deal, you know, gets figured out. He's got to cut corners here and there.
I got no complaints though, because these matches for the most part are going to deliver. Like, who wouldn't want to see Rey Fénix against Jay White? I mean,
I got
no problem with these matches. I was surprised that Pac won yesterday. Claudio has been on fire in Youngstown on Saturday. He was as house show as I've ever seen him. He was all over the place. He was all kind of stuff. So he was very entertaining. And I was surprised he got rolled up and pinned on Wednesday. But these matches are going to be fine. It's who they are. Right?
For the best wrestle.
It is.
For the sickos. Yes. It's for the sickos. What do we have in news and notes this week, Brian?
All right. Speaking of the sickos, mark your calendars, because there's a lot of wrestlers going a lot of different places to wrestle. It was announced this week, July 13th, NOAH Destination in Japan. That is where AJ Styles will be wrestling. July 26th in New York, House of Glory, the AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland takes on Amazing Red. And starting July 20th, the New Japan G1 Climax, Takeshita will be part of this year's tournament.
2024 is an interesting place in pro wrestling. We talked about it, right? But the most interesting thing, like, it's not a surprise that Swerve's going to be at HOG. Not a surprise that AEW wrestlers are going someplace else to work temporarily. But look at Triple H going across the aisle and being able to
AJ say, Styles and NOAH is shocking.
The opponent he's got, that probably would have been a bang of a match 10 years ago, maybe 15 minutes. But it's one of these, like, classic matches that it will deliver. Just for AJ Styles to be on a white wall and just saying, hey, I'm coming to NOAH. Just like, I saw that promo. I'm like, okay, that's great. So Triple H is also talking to Puerto Rico, Mexico. So he's trying to beat Tony Khan to the punch as far as relationships with other companies, including TNA. This is all interesting to me. Fascinating how this is all working. 2024, professional wrestling, amazing.
Well, the interesting thing about Styles to me is he's a main roster guy. Like, right now, TNA is only working with NXT. It's not like they're bringing over, you know, TNA to show up on Monday Night Raw.
Which is smart, by the way. Niche knows niche.
Mm-hmm. Right.
NXT's niche. TNA is even less than niche. It has appeal internationally, but obviously not on Access TV. So when by the way, you talk about like a smart mark crowd at NXT. They're nothing like WWE fans in Orlando, right? They knew when Joe Hendry came down. Oh my God, it's Joe Hendry. They root for everything, right?
Yes.
Like, it's Frankie Kazarian. Oh my God.
This is the worst town I've ever, wrong gimmick.
Even TNA fans don't get excited about Frankie Kazarian. But NXT fans are like, oh my God, it's Frankie Kazarian. So they're into everything. So two niche products helping each other, very good.
Smart. Well, to that point, though, Joe Hendry, he's a big deal on social media. His NXT appearance right now, it's the WWE's most liked video on their Twitter page since Mania. Over 93,000 likes before the show, over 7 million views. The Wyatt 6 debut was number one a couple days ago. Joe Hendry, they said his name, he passes. He's a big internet guy at this point.
How's he doing for our YouTube?
He's doing okay. I thought it would be a little bit better. He's doing all right.
Okay, just checking about that. Joe Hendry was on Busted Open today, and it's funny the parallel in what he said versus what Chelsea Green told us in her. You know what Chelsea Green said? It was stood out the most. She says, "I just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. I want to tell stories and have fun." Joe Hendry said the same thing. He goes, "He was going to quit the business until he says, you know what? I'm going to start getting my musically inclined self into a position where I can have fun and, you know, do music, and the wrestling is third or fourth and the fans are into it. It's the personality first, the entertainment first, and then the wrestling. He's having fun.
His song charted in London.
Yeah.
Like his entrance.
Yeah. This guy can go, but that doesn't matter to a lot of fans. He's entertaining, and that's what people care about.
Well, you saw him in person last week. How was TNA No Surrender?
It was fine. It's just shitty booking.
Okay.
Well, it was just shitty booking. Like, so we just laid out, we just put him over, right?
Joe,
outstanding. He's on the UK charts. He loses in 7 minutes to Frank Kazarian.
Mm.
Who booked that?
Frank Kazarian.
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy Dreamer, who booked that? So I'm just saying, like, a guy with popularity, Gabe. Mm-hmm. So you left, I mean, big pop, one of the biggest pops in Chicago for TNA against all odds. He loses in 7 minutes. I mean, he is wrestling's Mikey Whipwreck now. Just like popular, but yet, you know, not open, but he can't win a match.
Yeah.
Oh.
But hey, the Hardys are back in TNA, so that'll get people there. The Undertaker, in an interview with Chris Van Vliet, talking about Cody, said, quote, "I think he's going to have a tremendous run as a babyface, but I think his bigger run will be as a heel."
So this is a tough one for me, because obviously Cody was a tremendous heel. That's how he got himself over in the indies to start this whole thing, right? To begin this whole journey back to WWE as WWE champion. But by the time he made his way back there, I mean, he was kind of doing a meta thing where he was turning heel by not turning heel, by refusing to turn heel in AEW, and obviously that didn't work. But now he's kind of in this Cena role where I don't know if they can turn him heel, because he does so many things for the company in terms of being this front-facing person. I don't know if they can turn him heel. If somebody else can rise to the occasion and be that, then yes, maybe they can. And it would be a tremendous heel run. I just don't know from a dollars and cents standpoint if Cody can turn heel.
That is 100% correct, Gabe. He will be a tremendous heel when he goes back to AEW in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because that's happening. Because right. That's certainly happening. And it won't be just like a problem with WWE. It's just that that's what the roads do. Dusty did that. Dustin's done that. When the run's over, the run's over. And they want to attack something different. And I got a feeling like by the time we get to, say, 2028, 2029, he will not – if they're still in AEW, he will leave. And that's where he could turn heel, because it'll be a fresh coat of paint for him. But you're correct. He's Cena now. He's not turning heel in that company.
Even if I agree with you, Gabe. Like, I feel like you need that person, like a Jey Uso. Like, he feels very over right now. Like, could you give him the ball and run with it?
Maybe. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, but I just don't know what the staying power for Jey is right now. And you got to let him actually, you know, win matches.
Right.
I know he won his qualifier this week, but, you know, he actually has to win some big matches and be a champion and see how that goes.
You don't want to go the LA Knight route?
Who?
LA Knight.
Yeah.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not quite sure.
Big face to face with Logan Paul on SmackDown tomorrow. So you have that to look forward to.
If Jay White was in AEW, I'm sorry, if Jey Uso was in AEW, he'd already be champion.
Yeah.
That's a way to look at it.
Temporarily, but he'd be champion.
Finally, news and notes. Last week on the Grilling with JR podcast, JR said Shane McMahon could work in AEW. Well, this week, Conrad Thompson says that Shane has reached out to wrestlers on AEW's roster to hypothetically discuss the idea.
As a wrestler?
As a something.
Didn't he blow out both quads just jumping last time we saw Shane O'Mac?
That did happen.
It's not as a wrestler. It's not.
Well, sure as hell can't be a booker. Like, he's the only one who's worse than Tony. He's the one who messed up the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago and had Randy Orton going, "That's your music, man. I ain't going out to your music."
No, it's not as a wrestler. It'd be some kind of figurehead. If he was smart, he'd be talking to AEW wrestlers about Shane starting his own company. It's what he should do. Like, he wants to be in this business so bad. What he should do is take people off the TNA roster and also the independent roster and make his own company. That would really set 2024 on fire for to be ahead of the. But if he's doing a W game, could you imagine he against the Young Bucks and that whole thing? Like, he's the guy that stands in. That very well could happen. Shane wants to prove himself in the business. I would say what's best is for him to have his own company and his own money.
I did see on Twitter someone throw out, you bring him over and let Christian cut a promo and see the magic that follows that.
Well, all right, now we're talking.
Yeah.
And that leads to...
Shane versus Christian. I don't know. Yeah. Or Christian, I mean, just burying Shane's dad.
You can fire Shane after that. I don't care. Yeah. I just want to see what Christian does.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, right? It'd be a hell of a collision.
Yeah. Just only on Saturdays, of course.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It would get some attention, though. You bring a McMahon over?
Oh God. I don't think he should be in AEW unless he's going to be some kind of figure or for him to have his own company. As a matter of fact, that company's so big, he could have his own section of AEW wrestling. Like, he could run his own show, right?
He can have Ring of Honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He should buy Ring of Honor.
Yes.
I don't know.
What did you boys have for your matches of the week?
Here's one outside the box, guys. How about Collision, Thunder Rosa against Deonna Purrazzo?
Did you guys I had it on my list. I absolutely loved it. Absolutely.
That table
loved
spot,
it.
A little risky. I was a little worried when Thunder Rosa did
where she ran up the table?
Yes.
I mean, she's small enough. I guess she could get away with it where it wasn't going to break. But yeah, it was risky, but it was a great spot.
Yeah, you're risking your knees in that one.
This has been a really good, really solid feud. It was the best match I saw on Saturday night. Saturday, I did. Yes.
Second time they delivered.
Yeah. So what was the best match you guys saw at Clash of the Castle?
I had Cody and AJ.
Cody and AJ, the I Quit match.
Three Cody and AJs. Yes.
Yeah.
That's solid.
The ending ended up being really good, but I guess I was hoping more from Damian versus Drew, and then Damian got hung up in the rope, and that was just kind of weird and awkward, and you're hoping that he's okay, and he had a little bit of a limp on Monday, but, I mean, obviously you finished the match and should be good going forward. But
right, so I enjoyed that match. I had that match down because I do think everything, like the lead-up with Drew, the swerve with Punk, you know, obviously Drew should have won, and I feel that way. But, like, I think the match overall really delivered, and it was a big spot for Priest.
Well, I think the way that Drew reacted was fantastic.
Yeah.
First he gets a couple of free shots in, and then he kind of looks at the crowd like, well, I can't win if he's hanging up here. So that gave him the, you know, like, that was good thinking as a way to help him get out of the rope of, hey, I can't win if he's here. I got to get him out.
And one thing I'll say for Priest, I wrote down, Priest's promo on Monday. Like, it's the most entertained I've been by him as champion. Like, his stuff with Rollins and saying, like, I want to beat you, and you're setting up that match for next month. Like, I thought that was a really good job by him on the mic Monday.
I thought that the Priest move was a spot until I realized he can't get up.
Nope.
Yeah, he can't get out.
So I was very concerned with that. Looks like he's fine, but yeah. I was very concerned with that. So I guess those are two best matches. That was that Clash of the Castle. Sheamus against Braun Breaker on Raw.
If not for the ending, I would be more.
If not for the DQ ending, yeah.
I like the work on the inside, though. The within the framework of the match, I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it was a great spot for Braun because now he's working into the veteran who makes him more. Because again, we know Braun Breaker's a beast. You've given him all these squash matches, but now we know he can go with Dragunov. We know that, okay, now he's working with a bigger guy in Sheamus. So it helps continue to build and establish him. Yeah, I didn't care for the ending in that one.
Braun also had a really good social media promo post that match that he's continuing to grow, and they've been handling him pretty impressively so far.
Yes, I think so too. I think that he's been very solid. That guy is a future champion in this company. There's no.
I also had from last night, I had MJF Roosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't blow me away.
I expected a lot more physicality from Rush. It's almost like he let up a little bit because it's MJF's first match in a while. Yeah. I expect Rush to run through MJF.
Sure. Right. There were still a couple of tough spots there.
Sure.
Well, he's got one speed and one speed only. So there's only so much he can do there.
It's usually a shoot when he's in the ring. Rush does. No.
That is accurate. So. Well, shout out before that match. This was yesterday. MJF tweeted this earlier before the match. A dangerous, self-serving piece of trash that couldn't care less if his opponent comes out okay after the bell has rung. He's in it for the money, the fame, and the glory. If his opponent is left in the dust, it ain't his problem. And Rush is in the match too.
Very good.
Yep.
Good selling by Maxwell.
Yep, that's what he does.
Any other ones you guys want to throw out there?
Yes, I'd like to talk about Against All Odds if I could.
Oh, okay. I got No Surrender earlier. Same thing.
I'll take 60 seconds to talk about my time last Friday, TNA Against All Odds. Sold out. If you look at our YouTube, youtube.com, look for Good Karma Wrestling, hit that subscribe button. You can see exactly where I was seated, behind the camera, behind the swinging camera. Not the greatest seats from TNA. It's almost like it was personal. almost like it was personal. For those that don't know, TNA and Good Karma Wrestling have a little heat. And that's why I'm seated behind the camera. So there you have that. I will say that the system against the Nemeth brothers probably was the best match I saw. You know, we saw Hollywood Hunk, and we didn't think much of him in AEW. He's kind of a joke. He talks about acting and comedy a lot, and it's kind of like, okay, how can I take you seriously? This is the best match I've ever seen him in, Ryan Nemeth. We know Nick Nemeth can go because we've seen him for years. But I thought that match delivered. There was actually genuine heat in the building. People thought that Nemeth should have won the tag team championships for TNA. It did not work. Mustafa Ali took on Trent Seven. We know him as a tag team wrestler, Trent Seven, but we do have to realize he actually is a pretty good worker. I don't really like him much as singles, but that match delivered for the TV title. Ali won the match. Before the match took place, Ali was caught on video talking about I didn't like Chicago and thinks that TNA sucks and all this other stuff, and the crowd still cheered him. It didn't matter.
No, jeez. So wait, he said Chicago sucks and Chicago still cheered him?
Yep, he said, and the chant was, and I don't know if you got that, Brian, in one of the videos, we still love you, chants, for Mustafa Ali.
I do believe Ali has not lost yet since hitting the open market, the non-WWE world.
Yes. And lastly, and we should bring this up probably more so, the whole relationship with TNA and NXT. People believed in Chicago that there's supposed to be even trade. Like, you get, like, Joe Hendry and Frank Kazarian and what was it?
Jordan Grace.
All Ego, Ethan Page.
Ethan Page, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're thinking, okay, you're getting talent that goes to NXT. And on the other side, you think TNA is supposed to be having, like, the top-notch people from NXT. And so Jordan Grace, the Knockouts champion, has an open challenge to anybody. And people thought, oh, NXT talent, maybe low-end WWE Raw and SmackDown talent. Tatum Paxley was the opponent that came down to the aisle. And But the point is, though, is that people thought, oh, my God, here comes a WWE superstar. And they didn't get that.
Meanwhile, on social, you have Natty tweeting that she wants to wrestle Jordan Grace. Like, she's not doing anything else. Why not send her there?
You know what? Her contract's up. She might be wrestling her pretty soon.
All right.
So, she might be doing it anyway.
So, again, a solid card, guys. And it makes me think with this relationship between TNA and WWE that Triple H could be in a promo saying, I got TNA in my hands. I could see that because...
But what does that do for them?
You just take some of their young talent and put them in NXT. You make NXT even bigger for the CW network. That matters.
Yeah, early October debut for that, by the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you want that library that you don't use.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you want that library? I guess the early stuff.
AJ's on there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Yeah, you want some of that early AJ stuff. Some of that. I mean, I guess they don't necessarily care about the Samoa Joe stuff now, but
yeah,
there's some early Angle. Joe stuff on there. That's probably pretty good. Yeah, Angle.
Yeah, you want that stuff.
So many things that always happen in the world of professional wrestling. Don't have any PLEs or pay-per-views this weekend, but we continue to build towards them. There's going to be a couple coming up soon. CM Punk on SmackDown, though. You know Monday Night Raw is going to be good. The Owen Hart tournament continues. So many things to talk about. We're going to do it next week right here on GKW.